Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 29th of May. I'm Paul White. Today and tomorrow, we're going to air for you a previously unaired question and answer session from our first night of meetings in Wichita, Kansas. The sermon that precedes this Q&A will air the first Sunday of June. The Q&A, all 43 minutes of it, quite a lengthy Q&A, will air that week. But we're going to give you, our DDP audience, a little heads up. Today and tomorrow, we'll air a few questions from the Q&A. Today, it's questions regarding life in the Spirit, how my wife and I raise our children in the Spirit, how to hear and identify the voice of the Spirit and then follow. And then tomorrow, we'll answer a question in regards to how to deal with chaos in our lives. On both days, we won't do an outro. We'll just stop. Well, hopefully, this is a blessing to you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Yes.
And the things that you do and not giving them the rules. You know, this transformation you've been on, how has that changed how you taught your children?
Good question. How has it changed? How has the transformation? I assume you mean maybe the transformation into understanding grace and the finished work and how that's affected. Okay. How has that affected how we teach our children? Well, I have two children. I have an 18-year-old son and an almost 14-year-old daughter who feels like she's 21. So that's a challenge within itself. They're two totally different kids. So one of the first things I've had to do is dispense of the universality of it all. Like, you know, you raise your kids equally. Everything's got to be fair. And I lost that early on and said, life's not fair, so I'm not either. So don't expect that exactly what I do to your brother, I'm going to do to you or vice versa, because you're not the same people and that's life. And I will love you both equally, and I will give you both the same amount of things, but you will not always be talked to the same way, and you will not always be treated the same way. And it won't be because of your value. It'll be because of who you are. It won't be because of what you do. And so I've had to discipline differently, because what works with my daughter flat won't work with my son, and the other way around. He's very cerebral. He's very quiet, extremely relaxed and take it as it comes, and I think he could pretty much live on his own now, you know, and he's about to go off and do exactly that. My daughter, however, is very detail, routine-oriented and needs to know where she's getting picked up and exactly what time and where they're going to go next and what are you going to do tomorrow, and so she has to talk it all out, and she'll wear you out, just kind of talk your ear off. So that's been the big challenge, is good. How do we do that differently? But that's an every parent challenge. Everybody understands that. So spiritually, we talk to our children about who they are. That to me is everything. If I'm going to go into a meeting and I'm going to teach identity, then I got to do that at home. So I don't think you can enough tell your kids their identity in Christ and who Christ is in them. And as quickly as possible, as you raise your kids, start releasing them to make decisions led by the Holy Spirit. Start with silly things. Kids are cool with that. I mean, much of their life is built around silliness. But I mean, I remember years ago starting with, my daughter went through a phase where she wouldn't eat dinner. And she wanted to go straight to cereal every night. Bowl of cereal. And that's not healthy. And so I had gotten wearied with, no, sit down and eat your dinner. And I mean, I'm worn out with it. And so I started talking to the Lord. That sounds silly. Why do you need to talk to the Lord about it? Just, you know, stick in there and keep telling her. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. I'm sick of tired. I don't care, really, honestly, if she eats cereal for dinner. I'm that tired of it. So what do I do? So it was as simple as, I remember hearing from the Spirit that night to say, tell her to go into her room and ask me how much of that she's supposed to eat before she can eat cereal. And that seemed like the dumbest thing I'd ever done. And so I did. I called her into the room and I said, I want you to go talk to the Lord about how, it was peas. I remember it was green peas. I've actually shared this in a sermon. And I said, I want you to go in your room and I want you to ask the Lord how many peas you're supposed to eat before you can eat cereal. And she left the room to do it. And my son looked at me and said, Dad, that is so stupid. She's going to come back and say zero. And I got scared. And I said to the Lord, what if she comes back and says zero? We lost. And she came back and said, with a big grin on her face, the Lord said, eat five. And I remember, I've never seen a girl more excited in her life to eat five peas. It was this big production. And you know what just hit me? Her favorite food now are peas. I just realized that. I seriously did. I don't know that God did that to her. Maybe she got so excited to have heard from the Holy Ghost, she associates joy with green peas. The girl will eat bowls of them. My point is that it can start small, releasing our kids to hear from the Holy Spirit. And it's tough to do because sometimes we want to tell them everything to do. And then we don't prepare them to go out and be God's kids. And then we're shocked when they make terrible decisions. And it was because they never heard from the Holy Ghost. I'll give you another quick one. And I don't know if I shared this on the DDP or what. And I won't get into specifics for his sake. But my son had a real problem at one point in fall of his junior year. He had a failure. And it was pretty big. And I went to him and I said, "Didn't you hear the Holy Spirit tell you not to do it?" And he said, "Yeah, but I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit till after I did it." And I learned another lesson, because you'll learn even if you listen to your kids. And what I learned was, failure is the best teacher, so let your kids fail. Because if they fail and then they realize that was the Holy Spirit preceding the failure, it's the best lesson they'll ever have. Grace should be liberating God's people to take chances. We should be the most productive people in the world because we have the safety net of God's favor. And I'm not saying we ought to be jumping off of cliffs and asking God to save our lives. Jesus taught us better than that in the wilderness. We don't live that way. It's kind of like, throw caution to the wind, to hell with it, I'll survive, God loves me. No, we don't live that way. But you're free to fail. Freedom to fail is liberty beyond words. Because if I fail, I'm not a failure. If I fail, I'm not failed. I just failed. I failed, but I'm not a failure. And if your kids can get that, it goes a long, long way. That's tough to do. It's tough to stand by and watch people fail. And you know all you got to do is step in and save them. Or just start giving them rules. But that retards their ability to follow the Holy Spirit. There will be some rules. I mean, yeah, if you got a two-year-old and you say don't play in the street, you probably don't need to call them into their nursery and say, now listen to the Holy Spirit about whether or not you should play in the street. Okay? You need to use the sense God gave you. But as they start to grow into that, release them. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
While we're on the topic of hearing from the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Can you maybe articulate, or maybe you have a sermon that probably talks about it, what's your experience of hearing from the Holy Spirit? Because I hear from a pulpit a lot that, like, I heard the Holy Spirit talk to me as clear as you're talking to me right now.
Yeah.
And I've never had an experience like that, and I feel like maybe if I did, I'm like, I think that was just me thinking.
Sure.
So, like, what is your experience?
Get asked that a lot. In fact, I think someone articulated something very similar right before the lesson tonight. I think that we have confused the spectacular with the supernatural. So we don't really think that God is talking to us because it's not audible. It doesn't blow the curtains when he walks in the room and get a goosebump or a chill. And so therefore, maybe it's me. And I think that's a basic misunderstanding of the supernatural moves of God that happen in us because we are supernatural people. We are new creations. There is no dichotomy between who you are and who He is in relation to your spirit man. You are not a stunted, immature spirit man standing next to mature Jesus. You are fully formed sons. Galatians chapter 4. If you were not, then you would need the law in order to restrict your performance, but you don't because you're fully formed sons. Therefore, the Holy Spirit in you is going to sound very much like you because that's the only voice you trust, because it's the one that's been with you from the beginning. It's the one you know. You learned to mistrust it when you were not a new creation and you made stupid decisions and you ended up in chaos. Then you come to Christ and He is implanted in you and the Spirit begins to live out of you. And now Christ is on the throne of your heart and He and you share the same temple. Okay? To use Pauline language. So when you hear it, it'll be you. It'll be the sound of how you think, but it will always lead you to peace. And you have to practice hearing the voice of the Spirit, not listening for audible voices, but practice hearing the voice of the Spirit because He will always lead you into peace. And I say it this way a lot. This was how I really began to understand what was going on in me. It's what I've tried to teach my son in those moments of failure is I thought his statement was very telling. It was probably the deepest thing you could say theologically. He said it better than I can. Dad, I didn't know it was him till afterwards. Why? How do you know now it was him? Well, because I failed. Because there was something that bumped up against my peace before I did it. There was something in me that kind of grated, and I ignored that. And that's the Holy Spirit sort of rocking our peace. Paul says in Colossians 3, that the Holy Spirit, peace rules us like an umpire. Peace is our umpire. Peace umps our decisions. And where peace is rocked, that's the clear voice of the Holy Spirit saying, no, it's not for you. But I think you'll start to learn that the sound of the Spirit is very much the sound of your voice, that there's not this conflict in you. Well, that's me and that's the Holy Ghost. In fact, when people ask me, what is the will of God and how can I know it? My first question to them is, what do you want to do? And they say, well, this is what I want to do. And I go, well, that's the will of God. And I go, how do you know? Because you wouldn't want to do it if it wasn't the will of God. Wow. Well, that's big. That makes life a lot easier. Are there limits to that? Of course. I mean, if you step out into the realm of the flesh and you want to commit adultery, is that the Holy Ghost going, well, you want it, so it must be me? Well, no, He never breaches covenant. He can't. He can't step outside of covenantal love for us. But from a place where you are in tune with who He is and who He is in you, the good pleasure that Paul talks about is your good pleasure, not God's good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both the will and to do according to good pleasure. Whose good pleasure? Yours. Old King James says His good pleasure. His is italicized. It's wrong. God's pleasure's taken care of. You don't have to work out His pleasure. So He's working out in us. And so we allow that. You got to practice, listen, don't be afraid to fail. But you'll start to realize that He leads you into peace. The voice sounds very much like yours. Start to trust that where it's beginning to go is the very will of the Father. I lived this out when we left our church in Missouri, and I knew I should have left 6 months before I did because the passion to be there was gone. And so I had to say, and I was still anointed. I mean, we put out sermons that were touching lives around the world, but my passion wasn't there to be there. So I started to go to the Lord and say, well, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord would say, well, what do you want to do? I'd say, I don't know, but I don't want to be here. The Holy Spirit would say, well, that's good enough. Let's swing our leg out of the boat. And that's how we start to walk according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. And He'll lead us and He'll guide us. And if He doesn't, we drown. That's the risk you take when you walk on water. Right? I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's the way I feel.
I told you we wouldn't come back in and say goodbye, but I just couldn't do that to you. I hope you've enjoyed this. It's a rather lengthy portion from our Q&A. Hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow we'll give you a little bit more, and then the essay edition the day after that. Have a great day. God bless.